The Ride Home Rants podcast is brought to you by Reaper Apparel Company. Reaper Apparel offers a casual line of superb fit, finish, and comfort. We design for those who refuse to die slowly and choose to live untamed. For those who aren't afraid to face the dark, for the ones that thrive in it, and for those who can appreciate life through a grim lens. That's Reaper Apparel Company. Go to the link in the description of this episode. Use the promo code MikeBono and get 10% off. Also, the Ride Home Rants podcast is brought to you by my own personal merch store, the Stupid Should Hurt merch store. I have hats, I have t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, water bottles, notebooks, you name it, I've got it. The description and the link for that will be in the description of this episode. Also, right now, if you use the promo code WELCOME, I will give you 5% off of your first purchase. That's the Stupid Should Hurt merch store. Also, the Ride Home Rants podcast is brought to you by Tactical Brotherhood, all-American-made apparel, which helps support the Second Amendment. You can also find all this in the description of this episode with the link, Tactical Brotherhood. Part of every proceed does go to helping veterans, as it is a very good cause. All American-made products made right here in Minnesota. Go and check them out. Use the promo code PATRIOT15 to get 15% off your purchase. Now, let's start the show. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Ride Home Rants podcast. This is, as always, your host, Mike Bono. I have a great guest for us today, a guy who played for Mount Union. He's been to 5 national championships and won 4 of them. Jeremy McElroy, joins the show. Jeremy, thank you for joining.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Hey, not a problem. So I want to get into a little bit of your time at Mount Union. So you played there 4 years and then coached a year, been to 5 national championships and won 4 of them. So what was your time like there at Mount Union?
You know, it was an unbelievable experience, being around great people and being in a great place. You know, just a positive, completely positive, growing experience that, you know, couldn't ask for a better, there's my dog. Couldn't ask for a better time in college and a better place to be around a game of football.
Okay, so.
Good.
No, I was just going to say, so what was it like transitioning from player to coach?
You know what, it was awesome because my last year as a player in 1999, we lost the national semifinals to Rowan in double overtime, and then came back and helped, and we kind of got that national title back next year, and so that was really satisfying to help those guys come back and win it the next year.
Oh, absolutely. So you've coached for a bunch of different places. You got your start, though, at the high school level, I do believe, correct?
Yeah, I started there at Mountain, then I went to East Palestine, Ohio, and my hometown, and I coached there a year. And then I decided to get back in a college game, and I went and was a grad assistant at Cal PA for 2 years, working with John Luckhart and in the California Vulcans there. I did the strength program, and I did work with the offense, tight ends and tackles. And then last spring I was there, I did the defensive line. So had a great experience with those guys, and they really got it going. Once we left, they kind of took off, went to 4 national semifinals, so they did a great job.
That's definitely great stuff there. But you did coach with the wonderful manager of the show here, John Fitty Falcone. Gave him his first chance, if I do remember correctly, if you can confirm or deny that, with hiring him as a coach for you. Is that true?
Yes, it is. I got an email that came through from a guy named Bob Spade at Columbiana High School, and I think Johnny knew or had a friend that played for Bob and was looking for an opportunity. And I was looking for coaches, and match made in heaven. Got to help Johnny cut his teeth, and we got to work with some good young guys there in Lisbon, Ohio.
Okay, so what was the reason, if you were looking for coaches, I got to know, what was the reason you decided on Johnny as the coach there?
You know, he was ambitious. He wanted the opportunity, was real motivated. You know, he's been around the game of football, played in college, and his family background with his uncle being at Farrell. And, you know, those things are reasons why he wanted to. But the biggest thing that jumped out about Johnny was his eagerness and his willingness to put in the time and put in the work and the want to do it.
Yeah, I know he has always wanted to be a coach, but I was really thinking it was going to be that the man's motor just doesn't ever stop. Like, it's to the point where it is crazy, and I wish I had a third of his energy sometimes.
No doubt. That's,
like, there's times when he calls me, and you know, I get a couple words in edgewise, but most of it's, yeah. Okay, yeah.
He's rolling.
Yeah, he's just...
My man is rolling.
My man's always going. So you coached with him for a little while, but interesting enough, you two actually got the chance to coach against one another. So what was it like going from a guy that you had coached with to now him being on the opposite sideline? Was there...
It was pretty cool because, you know, we didn't necessarily talk about our teams a lot, but, you know, getting to chat here and there, compare notes on the other teams in the PAC conference that we played against. So that was pretty cool. Just get perspective and also just to kind of cuss and discuss football with somebody who's going through the same thing, similar to you, experience wise and, you know, going through the grind of a college season. So that was a pretty cool, just to every once in a while, pick the phone up and, hey, what do you think about this or what's going on with that team? And how did you guys handle this? You know, those were pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to have that, I guess, friend inside the conference to help you out too as well. But when he was actually on the other sidelines, did it worry you any knowing that he knew kind of how you were as a coach, or was it kind of equal playing ground because you kind of knew how he was as a coach?
Yeah, you know what? At that point, you know, at Geneva and him being at Bethany, you know, it was honestly, I didn't really worry about stuff because the things that we were doing at Geneva and the stuff that he was doing at Bethany was so far removed from what we were doing back in Lisbon, Ohio. It wasn't, you know, I mean, there might be some correlation there, but not the same. I mean, the scheme wise, it's completely different. And honestly, the kids, you know, they kind of, the players, not even the kids, the college students take care of itself. I mean, those guys, they're young adults and, you know, they make it happen. The Jimmys and Joes do. It's not us. We influence a little bit, but they make it happen. So,
I think that's spoken like a true coach there. It sounds like you've been around the block with that question a couple of times. But so that means to me that you have to have, and I ask everybody this that Johnny gets on the show, you have to have a good Johnny Fitty Falcone story that in there somewhere, whether it's either on the field, off the field, somewhere along the lines that I think the listeners really are going to enjoy and need to hear.
You know what? We'll come back to it. I mean, I've got some stories from him, but off the top of my head, you know, they're just kind of all rumbled together. So we'll come back to the Fitty Falcone story and you know, we'll see.
All right. Well, we're definitely going to get that in there because I love a good Fitty story. It's always interesting to hear what these guests come up with and some of the stuff. And it's just like, man, I know how crazy my man is there. So so where are you at now? What are you doing? And, you know, how's things going for you?
Well, I'm at Geneva College still. And when I went to Geneva, I was a defensive line coach. And then this is year five at Geneva. This second year of being defense coordinator. So, you know, it was a growing year because last year was, we just played five games. We had a spring ball. So it was, you know, it was good, to finally get a 10 game season in, get a full year in with COVID and, whatnot we had to deal with last year. So it was good. We ended up 4-6, had a couple, heartbreaking games that didn't go our way. As the year went on, where we feel like you know, you get a bounce here, you actually make a catch. There we make a couple more plays, and we're a bold team, and we've been real excited about that. Disappointed we're not a bold team this year, but, you know, did some good things and laid a nice foundation, and it really grew as a team as the year went on and developed. And just as I learned as a coach, the players developed and learned as we went through. And, you know, as a coach, all you can ask is keep making progress and keep developing. And we did that throughout the year. I learned as a coach how to better use my players on defense, and the players learned how to execute what we're asking them to do, you know, every week. And we tweaked and grow as the season went on.
So, I mean, you mentioned it there too as well. Last season, with the year of COVID, how did that affect your players and affect your season? Obviously, I mean, you only got 5 games in, being spring ball. So how was it navigating through COVID?
Well, you know, at first it was a big shock because, I'll go all the way back to August of 2020. We didn't know we weren't going to be out. And then all of a sudden NCAA pops up the regulations on testing in order to compete. And all the small colleges, at least in our conference, got scared that how are we going to do this and the logistics of everything and making this work. So, it was all new. So everybody kind of backed out and didn't want to, deal with all those logistics. So we didn't play. So when that happened, everything kind of got put on pause. We weren't sure what was going to happen, if we're going to get to practice in the fall or not. And then about middle of September, we started to practice like we normally would. So it was a beautiful thing because we got, they say, 30, almost 30 practices with full pads on. Where normally in the spring at Division III, you don't get pads. You just have your helmets, or you actually don't have helmets. You just have a jersey on and you run around. So having that shoulder pad and full padded practice for 30 times was really good. The hard part is, as you guys are aware, that when you're a college freshman, the transition that comes through there and you don't have any games. So that made it difficult because, you know, the big fish coming from a small pond, now they're in a little bigger pond and they're going, what the heck? This isn't what I signed up for. And so that made it, you know, a little challenging because, and honestly, we're still dealing with that because numbers wise and depth wise, you know, everybody, I think, in our league is just a little bit behind or off. Their numbers are off because you didn't have the normal year the year before. The recruiting class of 2020 was, you know, it took a rough hit because we're not playing those games. And, you know, some of those kids that may get an opportunity didn't get that. And then by the time the spring came, whether it was grades or whether their own choice or whatever it may have been, there's attrition there. So I heard one time that Urban Meyer said, out of 4 recruits, and these are scholarship guys, 85 out of 4 you bring in as a freshman, only 2 make it through to the 4 years. So, you know, if you think about a D3, they're not getting any money other than academic or aid. I think the numbers are even probably higher as you go through. And, you know, obviously the good programs that are the Mount Unions of the world or, you know, Carnegie Mellon won our league this year. Those programs, especially a school like Carnegie Mellon, they're going to keep their kids. You know, they're going to have a less of a turnover rate. But and that helps because you win with upperclassmen, you have mature guys. And the more you have, the better you're going to be.
Right. I mean, that kind of touched on it there. I was going to ask what the recruiting was like, but I'm sure it was just, I mean, like you said, it took a big hit with not playing the games and just not being able to really have that full season in there. Glad to hear it sounds like you're bouncing back, though.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, we got great kids. That's one thing about Coach DeMarco and staff here at Geneva that, you know, we bring in, you know, really great kids. Guys come to Geneva are you know, good fit there, and it's a good Christian school. And, you know, they Coach DeMarco sets a foundation and lets us coach. And the kids are really resilient. I mean, kind of the tough part of that fall was Coach DeMarco wanted to have full padded practices every day. It was like Junction Boys and Bear Bryant. But, you know, he gets guys to go compete. And that's one thing about our guys, I'd say, that you could ask Johnny or any of the coaches in the league that our guys will come and play physical football and come get after you. And they're going to play the whistle, end of the whistle. So end of the game. And that's a credit to Coach DeMarco and the kids that we have.
Yeah. I mean, that's just it. As a former college athlete myself, given I was a swimmer, and I promise I didn't mean to wear a Bethany shirt while I was talking to you today. I just happened to be on top of the pile today, so I just realized what I was wearing. But it is a swimming and diving, so I mean, I was a swimmer. So
Bethany's got a nice pool.
Yeah, I've been in that pool so much, I think. But I know what you're talking about, especially with the transition from high school to college sports, especially me in swimming and everything like that. And going in freshman year thinking, you know, well, I was pretty much all region. I was 0.4 seconds away from making districts at high school with my times and everything like that. So I was this big fish in this little pond, and then I went to Bethany, and it was like, all right, I really actually have to work here a little bit harder than I actually did in high school at this. And just seeing the practices, going from swimming 3,200 yards in high school to now in college, we're swimming upwards of 6,800 to 7,000 yards a day. And I was just like, wow, that's insane. That's double one practice and high school. But it pays off, you know, and for any student athlete out there that is thinking about going into the college, well, regardless of sport, just stick with it. It's going to pay off in the end, too, as well. That's one thing I always try to stress to any student athlete. Stick with it. Don't get discouraged just because you're not the starter as a freshman. You're not the big fish that you were. You're going to get there, I promise you.
Mike, where'd you go to high school?
Brooke High School in West Virginia. I was
nice.
Born and raised in West Virginia. I live in Ohio now. But, yeah, I went to Brooke High School, played football, and swam there.
Nice. Good stuff. My college roommate was from Brooke. Do you know Brett McLean?
I do know Brett McLean.
Yeah, Brett was my college roommate. It's good to get every once in a while we catch up down the valley, going to the All-Star game or going doing something. He was one of my roommates.
Man, it's hard not to say that you went to Brooke and then not know everybody who went there, especially with how small the town is. I mean, the town that I grew up in had 2,700 people in it, so it was like, you know everybody that's in that town.
Yeah. What did you go to Fallensbee, or were you from Fallensbee or Wellsburg or Beach Bottom? Where are you from?
I was from Fallensbee. Yeah.
Nice.
And it's so weird to have somebody know Fallensbee when I normally I tell people I'm from Fallensbee, they're like, where the hell is that? And I'm just like, it's an hour outside of Pittsburgh in West Virginia. That's the easiest way I can explain it to you. If
heck
you
yeah.
Blink when you're driving through it, you'll miss it completely. But it's
Route 2, huh?
Absolutely. So it is nice that somebody knows where I came from. Where was I going to go with that? Stick with it and, you know, coming from a bigger school in Brooke and going D3. You've coached for all the likes now. What do you think about, you know, just D3 sports as a whole?
I'll tell you what, I really do enjoy, people ask me all the time, do you enjoy you know, the college game, and I really do. And I'll tell a story about my first year in Geneva. I had a senior defensive end who, first week of camp, my first week there, he's a starter. And after about a week, the defense coordinator said, do you really think this guy is going to be able to do it? Because he's been here, and he has some injury histories, and he just hasn't clicked for him. I don't know if he's going to be able to get done. You know, what do you think, coach? And I said, he's a little rough here and needs to improve here and needs to do that. And he goes, well, why don't we take a look at another guy or take a look? We had like 8 freshmen that we liked and we wanted to take a look at. So we started cycling those guys through. And when I sat down and talked to Senior that, hey, you know, we're going to not the end of the world here, but we're going to move forward and let somebody else get more reps. And I told him why and what was going on. And the kid thanked me and said, you know, Coach, I really appreciate that because now I know, you know, I got a better understanding of what I need to work on. I'm going to do that and I'm going to work on it. And then as the year went on, the guy that ended up replacing him was reserve. So there was two weekends that he was going to be gone. We knew of. So he got to start those two games. Well, when the guy come back from the second time, the second month there in October, he hurt his back and the senior got to start a couple more games. So he got about 4 out of the 10 games and, you know, he sucked it up and got it done. But that's the beauty of college, the mature kid. Everybody wants to be there. They love the game because that's why they stick with it. You're paying a D3, you're paying your way to get there a lot of times. And so they really do want to play the sport. When you're in high school, there's great things and good things about high school too. But some of the guys are there and they're not sure. You know what I mean? They enjoy the game of football. They like their buddies. They like being on the field on Friday nights. But they don't necessarily like them weight workouts, so they don't like the workouts and the camp times and, you know, just the struggles that you have with young adults trying to figure out what they like and what they want to do. And so I do enjoy the college game of being with, you know, still young adults, but guys that, hey, this is what I want to do and I want to dedicate myself to it. And, you know, once you get that relationship, and really at any level, but once you get it at the college level, those guys will – they're all in, and you know, it's really a great experience been for me, and just rewarding to see them buy in and dedicate yourself and see them grow. And that's really why you get into the game and you start coaching, at least for myself, is, you know, to see people grow and help others. And I think that that's what we get to do when we get to coach.
Yeah, That's great stuff there, because, I mean, I still, even to this day, my college swim coach, if I need anything, I can still text him. And I graduated in 2012, almost 10 years out of college, and I know he will still answer the phone if I call him and I need anything. And, you know, he's always there, and it's great to build those relationships. I know you get it with your coaches, you know, at any level, but I think it's a little bit more intimate, for lack of a better word, at the D3 level, because, you know, the size of the school and everything like that, being smaller and everything like that, really helps out for sure at that level. And I couldn't agree with that more.
Here's an interesting swim story for you.
Oh, yes.
So Larry Carriage, the legend of Mount Union football, right? His first head coaching job was swim coach at Mount Union. And, he started the swimming program there in Alliance. And the guy that, and I don't know his name, but he told me this, the guy who was really instrumental in helping him develop as a coach in general, not just as a football coach or a swim coach, was the swim coach at Kenyon College. And Kenyon, I guess back then, it's probably been in the '70s, was very dominant. He said he went and watched one of his swim practices and he could not believe the work and everything that went into the coach. And he said that the coach was like, just really psychologically, the way to handle a team and lead, the guy was tremendous. And I don't know his name, but I know he spoke about that and said that really helped him develop his philosophy as a coach and himself, being a young guy, to be around someone who has like kind of the gold standard of D3 swimming. So there's a little swim connection, even with Mount Union football.
That's great. And, you know, I don't think swimming gets the credit that it should. A lot of people, and, you know, just to kind of go off of that real quick story, then we're going to jump back to that Fitty story here in a minute. But I remember being at Bethany, and one of my buddies who played football, me and him, we would always rag on each other all the time because we were always at the field house where – together, because he had practice when I had practice and everything like that, and kept saying, oh, I was in a sissy sport and all this other stuff because I was in the water. And I said, you know what, man, come on, let's get in the pool, we'll do one of the workouts and I'll show you how tough they actually are. He goes, oh, all right, bet, let's do it. So we jump in the pool, and this is the second time I've done this workout. Now, we get through the warm-up, and he looks at me and goes, oh, man, that was intense. I went, man, that was the warm-up. That was to get you ready for what you're about to do. And he was just huffing and puffing, and he couldn't believe. And the guy who was in the middle of his football season, in shape and just ready to go, and just couldn't believe how much work and the muscles that you don't realize that you use when you're swimming were hurting the next day. It gave me a little bit of joy seeing him limp around campus a little bit because he was that sore from doing the workout. And I actually did two of them that day. And to this day, I still text him like, hey, man, want to get in the pool and do a workout? And he's like, I don't want to do that anymore. That's good.
Here's a good pool story, Bethany College. So I was at Beaver Local High School, and I got the honor to do the OVAC All-Star Game and coach it for Ohio. And actually, Brett McLean is the one who turned it down so that I got the opportunity to be the Ohio head coach. And he's like, you got to take this, blah, blah, blah. It's an honor, blah, blah, blah. I've done it a bunch of times, and you can it'd be good for you to do it. So I took the game, and I'm down there doing meetings. And I take my team to at Beaver Local to Hiram, the team camp every year. We do it like 4 days. And the coach at Hiram is blowing me up, wanting me to secure a date, wanting me to get locked in and to certain days. And he's got demand. And I just was sitting there with the Bethany people and with Coach Garvey. And I'm like, can I just do a team camp at your place? Do you guys do team camps? And Coach Garvey's like, well, we don't do team camps for football here, but I'm sure we could work something out. And actually, the lady who was in charge was telling us about the housing and everything we're going to do with the All-Star game. And I can't remember her name, but great lady. And she says, yeah, we can do that. And I said, well, send me a quote over. And so we went to Bethany. We did team camp all by herself. Beautiful thing. Had the whole campus to our, you know, to run around. And the kids enjoyed it. The best part about it was the cost. They made it very affordable. But we went to the swimming pool every day, and the guys got after it and had a blast, you know, whether it was, you know, going back and forth across the pool, swimming, or just dunking each other and screwing around and diving and jumping in and seeing cannonballs and all that good stuff. But we always had a blast in the pool there at Bethany. So, like I say, I know the pool, it's a good pool, and it's right there in the middle of that athletic complex, and I'm sure they take great pride in their swim program because it's right there in the middle. So that's a good thing for you guys and the alumni there at Bethany.
Absolutely, and I'm actually glad to see, because I still follow them on all the social media, and to see what the team has become since I've left. Because when I was there, I was one of four guys on the swim team, and now they actually have a full men's team to where guys like me weren't swimming 6-7 events a meet and being worn out by the end of the day. And then my friends being like, dude, it's Saturday, you coming? I'm like, man, I just swam like 6 miles. I'm just going to call it a night, man. That's just not happening today. But yeah, it is good to see what it is. And I know the team takes good pride in their swim team, because it, you know, like you said, it's the center of the field house. As soon as you walk into the complex there's the pool.
There it is.
So gave you some time to think about it. Now we got to get a John Fitty Falcone story.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Big labia energy.
But if I eat a little cheese every day,
just keep it.
It's like I have a tolerance.
Yeah,
for cheese.
Good same job with building cats. Up your tolerance.
Like if I pet a cat every day for the first week or two.
I thought you were going to say if I eat a cat a little bit every day, starting at the tail and just ate a little bit, then I'd be fine. But if I didn't eat a cat for 3 months.
I would totally start at the face. Why would you start at the tail? If someone put a gun to my head and said, eat this cat. I'm trying to think of an acceptable scenario.
We're still talking about a feline, right?
Oh, did you think I was talking about pussy?
Maybe. It could go there.
I don't want to eat a cat. I want to eat a pussy.
I don't know. I mean, there's so many that, you know, over the years of touching base with him and, you know, I don't know. I'm not a good memory guy off all the little details, but there's just so many like crazy times on the practice field and, And really, just even the first time he said, you can just, it told everybody, you can just call me Fitty. I'm like, holy cow. Like, who, what is this? Like, who did I hire? Guy's telling everybody to call him Fitty. And I'm like, all right. But then when you get to know him and you get to see his heart and his passion for kids, you know, he's a passionate guy, and the kids take to him real well because he's just himself and he's not fake, and he gets after it and he wants their best interest. And once they know that, then, you know, it takes off from there. But yeah, Fitty, he's one of a kind. I mean, he is. And, you know, there's so many times that we've either had phone conversations lately or, you know, personal interaction, whether he was at Lowville High School here in Ohio or, you know, we were there together in Lisbon. Just so many things that are just, you know, unique experiences that you get to experience when you're coaching together. I always say that, my wife always says this, when I change coaching positions, you know, moving from place to place, you know, you appreciate the kids and all that, but it's the coaches become family. And that's the hardest part, is you don't have anything to bond you together other than those experiences you had, because normally you're working, you know, all the time, 24/7, and you got a common goal there. And now that common goal is not the same, but you still have that same feeling for each other. It's just, you know, there's not that reason to give them a shot every day, you know what I mean? And touch base. So those are the things that, you know, you appreciate all those guys you work with, because like I said, they become your brothers and your family members. And, you know, whether it's eating dinner together late at night or just solving problems, because, you know, when you're in the people business, there's a lot of issues that come up, and, you know, you got to work through it, work together, find that solution and a common ground.
Absolutely. And I agree with that 100%. I dabbled in a little bit of swim coaching here for some summer leagues this past summer. And, you know, it really was a bond between the coaches, not even just the kids themselves, but just the coaches, you know, because you're with them more than your family most of the time. And, you know, they become your second family. So I definitely agree with that 100%. And with Fitty, I mean, I've always called him Fitty. And to the point, and he's always called me Bono. And it was funny because it wasn't until like graduation to where it's like, oh man, his name's John. It's not Fitty. Like, because I just knew him as Fitty, and he knew me as Bono. And it was funny because, like, to the point to where we've called each other that so many times that we didn't even realize our actual names. Like, as if the other had an actual name.
And no
doubt. To the point now that if he calls me Mike, I'm like, are you mad at me, man? Like, what's going on, bro? Like,
Something's going on. Something's off here.
You've never called me Mike ever. But I know you're a busy man, but we are running down near the end of the episode, and Fitty himself has one last segment for us that we've done on every show, and it's a big hit, and it's called the Fast Fitty Five. Five random questions from John Fitty Falcone, the wonderful manager of this podcast here. And typically, they have nothing to do with what we've been talking about this entire time. So, kind of keep them rapid fire if you can, but you can elaborate a little bit too as well. So, here we go. Question number one. If you weren't a college football player at Mount, which sport would you have played in college?
Well, basketball. Basketball is another sport in high school that I dedicated myself to. So it's hard to be a 6'3 basketball player. And I don't care what level, Division III or whatever, but that would have been my next sport if I'd had to pin one down.
Okay. Best Rocky movie in the series?
Oh, Rocky IV.
Oh, my man. All right. I think this one's just for him. This is kind of an easy one. This is kind of the easiest question he's come up with. Who's a better quarterback, John Elway or Ben Roethlisberger?
John Elway.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of the easiest one he's came up with. All right. Who's tougher, a pro boxer or a pro football player?
Ooh. You know what? I would say a pro boxer, because the guys that aren't, you know, on pay-per-view every on a Saturday night for the great fight, they're not making a big buck. So they're getting their head kicked in for chump change. The guys that are doing it in football, at least they got a helmet on and there's more people, at least in my opinion, my knowledge, that are getting some big dollars or getting taken care of with the purse.
Absolutely. And last question here, and this is just such a fitting question, is do you like grocery shopping?
Not particularly, but, you know, when COVID hit, I liked where you could just go pick it up and they brought it out to you. That was real nice. I appreciate that. But some days, you know, when you want to get out of the house and catch a break every once in a while, you know, I got a family, I got a wife and four kids. So some days it's good to get out of the house and just go for a walk down the aisle of the store.
I don't blame you. I got a wife and one kid, and I know how much I need that.
Not only one,
and he's 12, and oh my God. But anyways, running down near the end of the episode, and like I said, I give every guest this opportunity here. I'm going to give you the floor for about a minute. Why Geneva College for any recruits wanting to play football or anything of that, or anything else that you want to get out there?
Appreciate it, Mike. Geneva College. Why Geneva? Because Geneva College is a place where you're going to learn and grow, and you're going to develop a faith that, just educationally, a faith-based education that you're going to grow and develop like you're not going to grow anywhere else. It's a great place for you to accomplish your goals, and the people there, really the people are the reason why you go to Geneva College. They're there to make you successful and help you, not just now, but they're going to help. The things they're going to teach you and you're going to learn and the experience you're going to get, you're going to grow and be successful all through adverse situations throughout your life, because you're going to face adversity as you go through life. And they're going to help you overcome and strive and become the person that, as Coach DeMarco says, goes and kicks the butt of the employer they don't hire. If you don't hire him, he's going to kick your butt. Every day that you go against him, and you're going to regret not hiring this guy. So that's Coach DeMarco's big line, but no, it's the people. Coach DeMarco, he is Geneva. That's the reason why Geneva College is still standing, or one of them, and he's been there 30 years now, so he's part of the institution.
Awesome, and it just a great way, I think, to end the show. There's a lot of great messages in there. And as somebody who has gone to Geneva for competitive reasons to swim against them and everything like that, it is a great campus to get out there and to see it. So I agree with that 100%. Jeremy, thank you for being on the show. I really do appreciate you taking time out of your busy day and away from the four kids there and the wife to talk to me for a little bit here on the show.
All right, Mike, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, not a problem. That's going to do it for this week's episode of the Ride Home Rants podcast. As always, everybody, if you enjoyed the show, be a friend, tell a friend. If you didn't, tell them anyways. They might like it just because you didn't. That's going to do it, and I will see y'all next week. The Ride Home Rants podcast is brought to you by Dubby Energy. Energy drinks made for gamers, streamers, and podcasters alike. Go to the link in the description where you can find the best energy drinks out there. Less caffeine than a cup of coffee. Also, no jitters and no crash afterwards. Use the promo code MikeBono and get yourself 10% off. Also, the Ride Home Rants podcast is brought to you by my favorite sponsor of the show, and that is Shankit Golf. Golf apparel made for the everyday golfer. We might not go out and shoot a 6-under par. We're probably going to shoot a 6-over par, but this is going to give us the gear that's going to help us rock it on and off of the course. Go to the link in the bio, use the promo code MikeBono, and get yourself 10% off there as well.